This is the You Can Learn Chinese podcast. For everyone who's trying to learn Chinese or reaching for the next level, you came to the right place. I am your host, Jared Turner, and always give 100% unless you're donating blood. My co-host is John Passon, and his friend got a tattoo that said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And he's thinking of getting the same one, but a little bit bigger. In this episode, step with us into the world of China's educational system as we interview an extra special guest that pulls back the curtain on how Chinese is taught in Chinese schools. These firsthand insights shed light on how China's classroom influences how Chinese is taught around the world. Let's get to it. This is Jared Turner joining you from Utah here in the United States.
Hi, everybody. My name is John Pasden. I am in Shanghai, China.
All right, John, how's it there in Shanghai? I know you're kind of in the bleak midwinter weeks leading up to the Chinese New Year.
It is cold, it is rainy, but Chinese New Year is coming, so I think we're doing all right.
Always felt like spring festival is a bit of a misnomer, but hey, it's right around the corner.
Yep. So today we have an interview. It's not your typical interview, though.
This is a great interview, John. It's a masterpiece.
Well, thank you. Okay, so we're not interviewing some professional who, you know, learned Chinese through their hard work and effort. We are interviewing, or actually I am interviewing, my own daughter, who was born and raised here in Shanghai. And just a note, my daughter is now 12 years old. She's in the sixth grade here in Shanghai at an international school, but she did go to a regular Chinese program from kindergarten through fourth grade. So we're going to talk about that a little bit in the interview.
All right, let's get to it.
Okay, so I want to ask you some questions about how you learn Chinese here in China. Can you tell us a little bit about your education here in China?
Chinese is kind of one of my main languages, and I kind of learned it growing up because my mom would talk to me in Chinese. So was my Chinese grandma. And at school, we would start with very simple characters. And the teacher would use lots of ways or games to help us remember the characters. Usually we learn the characters from easy stories. We read the stories and then learn the characters. And then we try to memorize them and then be able to write them.
Okay, so you're playing games, you're reading stories. Sounds like Chinese class was a lot of fun.
No.
Why not?
No, it's like 文章.
An article?
Yeah, articles. Starts out easy, but it gets harder and harder until it's like a really hard article.
So what makes them so hard?
It's just so detailed. There's just so much information, and some of the characters are also really hard. And sometimes there's like the main idea hidden in the story, and sometimes it's hard for you to figure that out. It's just so hidden.
Okay, well, can you remember just like a typical Chinese class in Chinese school, like the kinds of things you would do in class?
We would first read the article or story or whatever, and then write down what we think the story is trying to tell us, and basically find how they wrote the story and how it's written. And then the teacher will make us read paragraphs, and we have to, of course, read with emotions, like read it well. And of course, then the teacher will give you like words or characters you have to memorize and then learn. And then on the test, it will be like these characters. You have to make a sentence or you have to make a word out of this character. And it just gets harder and harder, I guess.
So for one of these new chapters in the book, like how many new characters do you have to learn?
It starts off like maybe 6 characters and increases into like 8. And then 12, I'm pretty sure. The character's amount just increases and you have to learn more and more hard ones.
And a new chapter is what, like once every week or what?
The normal speed of learning is basically one chapter is like 3 days or something. Because before we had like more than 2 Chinese classes every day. So then the teacher, like, she really takes her time to really get it all detailed and understand the story.
Okay, so then for something like that, what kind of homework would you have?
We had to practice the characters.
But hold on, when you say practice the characters, what do you mean? Write the characters over and over?
Yeah, we have to write the characters. I remember you have to first like trace the characters and then you have to write like a bunch of them. There's this called 米字格. there's like lines in it. It's just a guideline
right,
to help you write your character right, basically.
But isn't there also something called 默写?
Yes. She will tell you, you have to look at the whole story. You have to know it well. Make sure you know all the characters and how they look. Because you don't know like what she's going to ask you, what characters she's going to ask you. So she's going to give you a list of like all the words. And then she's going to take some of those and ask you. So you have to like memorize all of them to make sure you can get them. And then on the next day, the 默写, which is you get your books out. And then she will start choosing the characters. She will say it out loud. And then you have to write them.
Was that hard?
Sometimes. But if you're prepared, then it's not.
Okay. All right. So then beginning of fifth grade, you went to international school here in Shanghai.
Yeah.
But you still had Chinese class.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you, is the Chinese class in international school very different from your original Chinese class in a Chinese school?
It's pretty different because in the old school, they'd be very, very detailed about the chapters. And then they do a lot to make you memorize and like read really fluently. They're very serious about everything. But now the teacher would just like make sure you know the meanings. Like she wouldn't care too much on how you write the character or how you read the chapter. She doesn't.
Really?
Yeah, she doesn't care too much. She only cares most about is like the main idea, if you understand, and then what the form of writing the author uses, and then what it's trying to emphasize or whatever. And as long as you understand the perspective of the author, then that's really important.
So you're saying that your handwriting, like how beautiful it is, it doesn't matter as much now?
It does matter. They just don't really teach really serious about that.
So would you say you like Chinese class more now?
I mean, Chinese class isn't super likable, but...
Wait, hold on. Explain that. Why is Chinese class not super likable?
I just like English better.
But why?
Because it just sounds better. It's cool.
But do you think it has anything to do with the way that you study? Like, do you have to do 默写 in English class?
Not really.
Do you have to write English words over and over again for homework?
No, we don't.
Is the kinds of things that you read in English different?
I just think it's more interesting in English. Right now, we will learn about poems.
But you learned about poems in Chinese class, like in second grade.
Okay, but that's like ancient poems. That's not interesting. Some dude is talking about how the mountains look. I don't care.
Okay, one final question. We're almost done here. I know that when you read for pleasure, you prefer to read English books.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think you don't have so many Chinese books that you like to read for pleasure?
I feel like in English, there's a lot more cooler ideas. This is not racist. Something about English just makes me want to read it more than Chinese. Chinese just seems more simple and not so rich with information and things.
All right, don't worry. Nobody thinks you're racist. These are just opinions, feelings. All right, well, thank you for doing this interview.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just for the record, you are 12 years old.
Yeah.
Just turned 12.
Yeah.
You're in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
You've been at an international school since the fifth grade, and you were at a Chinese school from kindergarten through fourth grade. All right. Thank you.
Well, John, I love that interview. That just really, I don't know, kind of lifts my heart a little bit. It's really cute.
Well, but it's also a little depressing, you know, because she really doesn't like Chinese and she feels like that's just Chinese.
Yeah, that's some good points there. And I think, hey, this is a great opportunity to unpack some of the stuff. And I think there's a lot of parallels too that, you know, I think in our experience, John, we can relate to a lot of learners out there for some of the experiences they've had in learning Chinese.
All right, just a reminder, though, that my daughter is learning Chinese as a native speaker, and that's definitely different from learning, you know, as an adult learner or even just as a child learner who's learning Chinese as a foreign language. So that's something that we're going to get into. But I think one thing that we should examine is, you know, why interview my own daughter? Why is her attitude towards Chinese important? Is her attitude towards learning Chinese representative or, you know, sort of the common view? And I would say, yeah, a lot of kids really don't like learning Chinese here in China. Chinese is just not fun.
Yeah, I have seen that as well. It's really challenging. And if you think about how she frames it, I mean, Yeah, you can see that. I loved how you, John, when you opened out in talking to her about her experience, you're like, oh, and she's describing how there were a lot of games to learn and to write characters. And you're like, oh, so was it fun? And she's like, no, Chinese class is not fun. And she talks about how, oh yeah, the beginning is, it was easy, but then it gets hard and really hard. And the expectations and the demands of your teacher seem to be really onerous the further you get into the language.
Yeah. And right now, a lot of her assignments have to do with like finding a news article. And she's really struggling with that, not really enjoying it. And the teacher is tasking them with finding a book that they have to read in Chinese. It can be like a juvenile literature type Chinese book. And she's also struggling to find books that she actually wants to read in Chinese.
John, you know, to me, this kind of underscores a couple things that we have talked about a lot. Maybe I could boil it down to two things specifically. Number one, kids literature, juvenile literature, it's not really appropriate for second language learners because it is challenging. And two, how a lot of this material, a lot of these things are continually written with like learning in mind, as opposed to just, hey, let's read and have fun and just, you know, find something interesting and start reading. It's like, hey, if you're going to be reading, you need to be learning.
Right. And just yesterday, there was another example that jumped out at me, knowing that we were about to talk about this interview. And that was with my son. And he's 9. He's in the 3rd grade. And he was staying home because he wasn't feeling well. And I had ordered some English books for him. There's this series called The Last Kids on Earth. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's this post-apocalyptic story about a group of kids surviving like zombies and stuff. And they're not comics, they're chapter books, but they do have a lot of illustrations. So there's a fair amount of text. And I got the whole series. He picked up the first book and just plowed right through it, read the whole thing in English, you know, asked me a few words, you know, what's anarchy mean, you know, stuff like that. But he was doing fine, loved it, finished the book. Okay, that very same day, he had to do his Chinese homework, and he had to read 2 paragraphs of this short story. It's called Yanzi, you know, swallow the bird. Mm,
yeah.
And, you know, my wife is kind of in charge with helping him with his Chinese. And, oh, man, he did not want to do it. He was complaining. He was whining. You know, my wife is losing her temper. It's just 2 paragraphs, right? He had just read an entire book in English voluntarily. Nothing related to school. And he just has to read 2 paragraphs in Chinese. And it was just pure torture for him. He hated it so much.
Oh, man, that's tough. That's really tough. You know, this underscores to me, you know, we go back to something about the extensive reading, the kind of the academics in this area have this reading scale and talking about the different levels of reading. The extensive reading, reading at high level comprehension, you know, is around 98% comprehension. Intensive reading being between like 90 and 98%-ish, somewhere in there. It's a little bit slower. It's a bit more study reading. But reading below that 90% comprehension, that is like reading pain. And that sounds exactly the area where your son was in trying to read that text for his class.
Yeah, I looked at this text. It's pretty hard. I mean, these Chinese texts, they're not long. Just like intensive reading passages that you do in school are not long. But it's full of difficult vocabulary and new characters. And it's just always like that.
So I think this is something that, you know, a lot of people I think can relate who've maybe, there's various textbooks out of there of, you know, varying quality reading materials and people have been in a variety of different classes out there. But if anyone out there, if they're listening to this and they're like, oh yeah, I've been through that. My class was like that. I mean, it was hard. Well, these are common, like, first language instructional methods for kids to learn Chinese. And it's very common for teachers who are trying to teach their native language to someone as the second language to use the methods and the ways that they learned using those methods to try to teach someone that is the second language. And so this is happening in Chinese. It's prevalent, not just in Chinese, but all over the world in all sorts of language education. But it seems almost somewhat seemingly more onerous in Chinese.
And also, you know, times, they are a-changing, right? People are not writing by hand as much as they used to be. And you might think, oh, well, the ways that they teach kids are probably changing, right? But no, they are not. Hmm. The teachers are teaching basically the same way they taught. The curriculum's a little different, but they are writing a lot by hand. And this is actually one thing that I talked to my daughter's teacher about. It's not the same as teaching Chinese kids in an all-Chinese curriculum because it's an international school and most of their classes are in English. And so you know, we had this parent-teacher meeting and the teacher was sharing with the parents about the challenges. And, you know, she was saying that because they don't get so much Chinese input, because they're not reading Chinese all day long, it's much harder for the teacher to help them attain a higher native-like reading level unless the kids do a lot of reading outside of class. Like, they have to read more. And so that's why the teacher is assigning reading. And the teacher kind of admitted that they sort of give up on writing. Like, at this point, if they're not reading a lot, they're not going to be acquiring the vocabulary they need to achieve that, you know, more native-like level of fluency. And there's just not enough time for the writing. So at my son's age, you know, he's still in the third grade, they are writing quite a bit. But once they get up to sixth grade, you know, and high school, they're not spending time on writing. They just have to read as much as possible because reading is so important for acquiring vocabulary at these later stages.
That makes total sense. And I think based on those constraints, I think that sounds like the most optimal choice. Building literacy has huge amounts of benefits. You know, John, something else that sticks out to me too is that when she was talking about learning new characters, she talks, she says, oh, it kind of gets harder and harder. And they said, you know, her wenzhang, which is, you know, the reading for the homework, starts out with maybe earlier grades, 6 characters per article, then maybe 8 new characters, and then up to 12 characters for each article. And she talks about how difficult that is. And they would cover an article over the course of about 3 days. I remember when my kids were in school there, you know, I think maybe at the lower levels, you kind of maybe have shorter articles. Maybe it was like, it seemed to be like 3 or 4 characters. And you go through one every 1 or 2 days. So I think it always varies a little bit. But if you note how, now she speaks Chinese, you could say she speaks Chinese fluently, right? And yeah, so she's trying... language. So she's trying to make sure she's becoming literate and learning all the characters. So for someone who is, you know, orally fluent in the language, it's her native language, it's still difficult trying to learn like 6, 8, 12 characters even within a 2, 3 day period. And that's hard. And then when you look at sometimes how certain, you know, I know classes have been taught for second language learners in Chinese, yeah, they're trying to do that same thing. And they don't even speak the language. They're trying to learn it all and try to get the characters at the same time.
Yeah, and that's why my son hated his assignment so much, because there are all these new characters. And when he tries to read it, you know, it's like, oh, there's that character. What is that? And he just can't remember the characters. Like, he can't cram them even into his short-term memory, much less his long-term memory. And the only thing he had to do was to be able to read aloud 2 paragraphs, and they weren't really long paragraphs, but he just hated it. And he was saying to me, it's so hard. Chinese is so hard. And I was like, I understand your frustration, but it's not really hard. It's just, in order to remember it, you really have to put in the time. Like, if you don't put in the time, it's not just going to stick in your memory. And, you know, I was pointing out, like, look how much time you spent reading today. If you just spend a little more time on Chinese, it's not going to be so painful. But he just doesn't want to. And I think a big part of that reason is that the reading was not interesting, right?
Yeah.
That's a big part of the problem. These readings are not interesting for these poor kids.
You know, John, this is really, you know, we're talking about, hey, you know, some of the, it's like this burden, like this weight, you know, your kids learning Chinese and going through Chinese school. Heck, even they're in an international school too, and there's still some challenging experiences. But I think really here is that one of the takeaways I would advise anyone who's learning Chinese out there is that if you're finding yourself in this type of situation, if you're in a textbook or a class or some situation like that, recognize that it doesn't have to be this hard. And that part of the reason it can be hard like that is because there might be so much pressure to acquire so much vocabulary in a short span of time and not having enough repetition and, I would say, comprehensible input, that things that you're understanding, reading, listening, whatever, not having just enough comprehensible language input. And when you don't have that and you get into these areas where it's now like the study reading or it's like reading pain or a listening pain even, it just gets really hard.
Yeah, I was talking to my wife about this and she was saying, well, why don't we have him read something easier to just give him some practice and, you know, to build his confidence in being able to read. And actually, he has read Mandarin Companion books before. I remember having him read My Teacher is a Martian, you know, our breakthrough level 150 character book. And he read that when he was in first grade, I think. And it did help him build confidence. And he can read our level 2 books quite easily. But the issue is these articles that he has to read for class have so many new characters. Like, they're well beyond graded readers. Like, they're already approaching, you know, adult level materials. It just doesn't help with all those new characters. But he still does need more reading to build the fluency. So it's rough.
He's in fourth grade, right?
He's third.
Third grade. 9 years old. Third grade. Yeah, that's hard. But I've thought a lot about this over the years, John, is that in learning Chinese, especially in China, in Taiwan, in a place where you're learning it as your first language, there's roughly, what, 3,000 characters, right? 3,000 characters would constitute, what is it, like 99% of most, 98%, I think, of most of the written and spoken language?
Yeah, something like that.
So if you just simply do the math, and I know they focus on trying to get you exposure and so, and quote unquote, learn those 3,000 characters by fifth grade. If you do the math, that's simply like 600 characters per school year. And if you are going to try to get all that exposure and learn that many characters within those, that 5 year period, you have to be moving at that rate. And so this is one I've always seen, is just the challenge of Chinese literacy and being able to really acquire that language. Basically, you have to memorize the characters. And now there's a lot of methods to do that, and some work better for other people than others, but you have to memorize them. And you can't just like sound them out like, you know, learning the alphabet or something. And it's just going to take so much reinforcement and exposure to the language before you're really going to be able to learn those characters. And so that's, I think, one of the big challenges of learning Chinese, in my opinion. But we now scale that out to someone who's learning it as a second language. Yeah, it can take longer because typically most learners are not able to learn at that rate.
And maybe things would get a little bit better if the requirements for being able to write everything were, you know, maybe relaxed a little bit. But I don't see that happening in the immediate future. Chinese elementary schoolers are still writing quite a lot, and being able to write characters is still very much prized in Chinese culture. So, you know, when you won't let anything go and there are limits to the capacity of the human brain, you're kind of just stuck with this. And I wish that the kids could read stuff that was more interesting to them in Chinese class. That seems like maybe the one thing that definitely could change, but not really seeing that change either.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. And I think, you know, okay, this is going to be the shameless plug here, John. But I mean, this is something where the space where we saw that we're trying to fill with Mandarin Companion. Because if you take like a circle that represents like, you know, like a Venn diagram, a circle that represents the amount of like Chinese material out there that is like level appropriate. And then you take another circle that's like the amount of stuff that's actually like interesting, at least that non-Chinese people want to read. The overlap between that level appropriate and stuff that's maybe like interesting to most learners, I mean, it's just a tiny little sliver. And, you know, that's something where we tried to do with Mandarin Companion, trying to expand that and grow that with, you know, the books that we're publishing. But it's not just a problem even for, you know, people learning Chinese as a second language. It's even an issue for people learning it as a first language.
Yeah. So, I mean, part of the problem is that the schools, they want kids to be reading poetry. They want kids to be building towards reading literature, you know, already in the third grade. So that is a really high bar. Whereas at Mandarin Companion, we just want you to be able to read basic Chinese, to be able to read a story and understand it and enjoy, you know, comprehending the language. So we do have a somewhat lighter burden and a little bit more freedom about making the stories more interesting. And I think we are grateful for that.
You know, also she mentioned, now I recognize one of the things here is that your daughter, she's 12. And, you know, how I perceive things at 12 is a little different than I perceive them now. And, you know, she was talking about like, you know, oh, but you know, you learn poetry, you know, in Chinese. You're like, oh, that was classical poetry. And I think she talked about Chinese. She mentioned something to the effect of Chinese being so rich with meaning and how to her, I think in her view, it was a little bit of a detriment. But, you know, I think that is also another feature though of Chinese, which does attract a lot of L2 learners. And I think it's something as my language abilities have grown is something that I've come to appreciate. And you kind of find some depth in the literature and in certain poems or how things are written. It can be pretty cool.
Yeah, and getting back to that point about my daughter's attitude towards Chinese, I think one thing that's interesting is that you study a language, whether it's your first language or your second language, and it's taught a certain way. And you just kind of get it in your head that this is just how it's taught. And it doesn't have to be taught that way. but it's actually really hard to imagine a different way sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I would suspect, John, maybe this from your experience, did her attitude change towards learning Chinese once she went to an international school? At that point when she realized, oh, hey, there is a different way, you know, to go about this, or English can be learned and, you know, it doesn't have to be that onerous.
Yeah, I would say her attitude worsened a little bit because originally, you know, everything was taught in Chinese. She was at a fully Chinese school and Chinese class was just Chinese class. It wasn't like this horrible class. But then once she went to an international school and everything else was in English and she liked that, then Chinese became the one class that was in Chinese, the one class that was, you know, all about Chinese, and it had this, you know, traditional feel to it. So then it became, you know, it wasn't weird because Chinese was always like that, but suddenly there was this contrast. And yeah, it's not the cool class. And her teacher is actually pretty good. I've met her and I think she's quite good, but, you know, that's just the way it is.
That was a little bit of my experience too. My second son, he went through all of kindergarten in China, and then he went through first semester, first grade in China at a local school, and then moved back to the States. But I was still kind of had a foot in China too, and I was coming back and forth. And he went to a semester, second semester of first grade in America. But then he decided he wanted to come back and spend all the time with me because I was still taking care of business. So he went to first semester of second grade in China. And now he did well. He worked hard. He fits in pretty well as a kid. He fits in pretty well wherever he is. But after he came back, he's like, I never want to do that again. That was hard. You know, I would write all these characters and stuff. And he actually realized, you know, hey, school in America was way easier. It was like, I would never want to go back to school in China.
Yeah. And actually here in the Chinese system, you can't leave the Chinese system and then come back like half a year later. You just can't. You're not allowed because catching up is so hard. It moves so fast. So I'm sure they let him because he didn't actually have to, you know, achieve some level of Chinese. It was just like, do as well as you can. But for the Chinese kids, if they have to reach that, you know, that level that's going to get them into university or whatever, oh, it is so hard.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we did have some good relations with the teacher and principal. So they said, oh, we'll let him try. He's a good kid.
Okay, so I hope you guys can understand a little bit better about what kids are dealing with when they learn Chinese as a first language. And I hope you can maybe appreciate a little bit that as a second language learner, as a foreign language learner, it's not nearly as bad. You have more choice. It's much more possible to enjoy, especially the reading aspect of Chinese.
Absolutely. And I would encourage anyone who's finding themselves in this situation where, man, you know, class or the program you're in or the textbook is just like, it's crushing you. Well, in my experience is that if you are continuing to feel that and have that pressure, most people are just going to say, hey, you know what? Chinese maybe is not for me. And really, I think it's not so much about the language per se, but it's about how it's being taught. And so, you know, being cognizant of some of these things can also help you to realize, hey, maybe when it's time to make a change or to try something that's going to be a little bit more, a little easier for you and more adapted to your level as a second language learner.
So we hope that's encouraging. Remember, it's not easy, but you can learn Chinese.
So, John, is that how you learn Chinese? The hard way?
Kinda, yeah. But we're not going to get into that today.
Next time. Or not. You have been listening to the You Can Learn Chinese podcast. My name is Jared Turner, co-founder of the Mandarin Companion Graded Reader Series, and my co-host is John Pazin, co-founder of Mandarin Companion, founder of All Set Learning, the Chinese Grammar Wiki, and Sidlesplice.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and take a moment to text or message this episode to a friend and share it on social media. That really helps us to help more people on their language journey. You can leave us a review or reach out to us at mandarincompanion.com or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can find our Graded Reader series on Amazon, iBooks, Google Play, or wherever you get your books. Apologies to John Cena, we just ran out of time. The You Can Learn Chinese podcast is produced by myself, and our editor is Jasper Chua. And of course, thanks to my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, John Pastin. See you next time.